Welcome to Maseches Baba Basra, Perek Yud, Mishnah Dalet, Chapter 10, Mishnah 4. This Mishnah continues in a similar theme as the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein kois vin shtari erisin. One does not write documents of engagement, which in those days would mean that each side, the father of the chasim, the father of the kal, of the bride and the groom, each write how much they're obligating to give towards the new couple establishing their home. Vinisuin, and we also cannot write documents of nisuin, of marriage, which is a ksuba. Or the nedunya, how much each one obligates himself for the dowry. Ela bidas shneim, unless the father of the chasan and the father of the kala are both there. Ve'achasan nisin tzchar, and the chasan, the groom, he has to pay for the sofer, he has to pay for the scribe, because in essence, he's the one that's acquiring the woman. Ein kois vin shtari arisus. We don't write a shtar of an aris. We've had this before. An aris is a person who accepts upon himself that he's going to work somebody's property for a percentage of the crops, or the kablan is somebody that accepts to work somebody's property and give a certain amount of produce regardless of how much the field produces. So when you write shtaris, when you write the documents that speak about the agreement, we only do it el midas shneim. You have to have the consent of both the owner of the field as well as the sharecropper. The hamikabel and the sharecropper, noisein schar, he has to pay the money of the for the sefer, for the document to be written. We don't write documents that verify. This is talking about a situation where two people have a conflict and the two of them agree that they're using a particular judge, a particular dayan, and whatever he says goes. So that document, the chomasa bezdin, or any type of transactions of the court, both sides have to be present. And both sides pay the fees for the sefer, for the scribe. Rav Shneim Gamliel says, Shneim koisim, Shnei birurin, mazeh, Each side writes their own document so that they're both able to hold on to the document. We don't just have one document in the situation. And therefore, if the two of them never want to see each other, they both have a way to prove that there was some type of verdict and there was some type of ultimate agreement. Says the Mishnah, Misha para miktsas chayvay. Let's say a fellow owned his friend $100 and he paid back $30. Misha says shtaray, and now he gave over the document that the malva had, that the lender had, because he's the one that holds on to the document, they gave it to a third person. Why? Because they didn't want to write, you know, a new shtar to say, oh, he paid back a 30. They didn't want to write a receipt. They just said, here, you hold it. You know that a third was paid up and that he can only claim two-thirds of the loan. Vamalaya, now the borrower says to the third party, if I don't pay back by a certain date, ten lay shtari, give the lender back the shtar, the document, and he could collect the entire loan from me. And that's what happened. Higia hazman v'loy nasan. It came the time, and the borrower never paid back anything. Rabbi Yossi says, Yitain, that he has to pay the full amount. Rabbi Huda says he doesn't. The Gemara explains that this is dependent on a famous machlekes in Shas called Asmachta. If a person makes a commitment because he's confident to be able to do it, is that considered an obligation or not? Rabbi Yossi says, it is. Rabbi Huda says it's not. Wishing you a fantastic day and a wonderful upcoming week.